And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here, talking about Alabama. Y'all, I mean, this show goes like, whew, way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, we're going to the phones right now. I'm real pleased to have Congressman Gary Palmer on. Gary Palmer is the founder of the Alabama Policy Institute. He is now a member of leadership in our U.S. delegation, not just the U.S. delegation, but in the Republican Congress. And he is traveling right now and has made time for us in the midst of his travels. So without further ado, Congressman Gary Palmer, thank you for calling in. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you having me on, Phil.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. And listen, you and I spoke, was it Friday or maybe it was over the weekend? But you made some great comments about the fact that we should quit focusing on the person and begin to think about it's the policies that matter. Give us your thoughts on the debate and then elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, the debate exposed what those of us in Congress have known ever since Biden took office. He's not the guy in charge. He's not mentally capable of doing the job. And it just became evident to everybody. What's astonishing to me is how the mainstream media, the CNNs and MSNBCs and the major networks have all covered up for him. And they act like, oh, my gosh, this is new. They didn't know this. They've known it all along, and now they just can't deny it. But what I've said to Speaker Johnson, what I've said to the Trump team is, look, don't focus on Biden's performance. Focus on the policies. Because if they pull Biden out and put somebody else on the ticket, it doesn't matter who's behind the podium in the next debate. The policies are not going to change. The next Democrat in line, whoever it might be, is still going to advocate horrible energy policies that are going to keep your household energy costs high, your utilities, your gas at the pump, your groceries, and the border's going to remain open. So what I've told everybody is, don't let this become a campaign of personalities. Make it a campaign of policy. And I think that's where we need to be, talking about how we got in this mess, where we are internationally, but really, just look at what's happened at our border and how people can't afford their groceries, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah, you're so right. I mean, let's say they did substitute somebody. Let's say they did get him off the ballot, which is already getting very dicey. But in the event that he chose to willingly step down or however they did it, had a floor fight at the whatever, it doesn't matter who comes in there if they bring the exact same policies with them. We're in the exact same boat at that point.
Yeah. This, what we've been witnessing for the last 3 years and 5 months now, is the third term of Obama.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say, well, what if they pull him off the ticket and put Michelle Obama on? I said, so I'd be out saying, look at your grocery bill. Look at your household utility bill and the price of gas at the pump. Look at the border. You've already had three terms of Obama. You want four? And I think that's a winning message.
No, I agree. I think it is. I mean, it's hard to beat the phrase, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? And you know, regardless of who it was that said it, which I think may have been Bill Clinton, the truth of the matter is that argument stands up because it makes you reflect upon where you are and the policies that got you there. Let me ask you this, Congressman, and I agree with you. I think this is the third term of Obama, but in the day-to-day, Like we have one report right now that I've got sitting on the desk with me that says that White House aides have secretly said to the media recently, like since the debate last week, that Biden really only works from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. They call it standard working hours, which is, there's no such thing as standard working hours in the presidency. Missiles don't get launched between 10 and 6.
There's no such thing as standard working hours for a member of Congress.
No, it's true.
And that's doubly true for the president. But I'm shocked that he's able to work 10 to 6. That's an 8-hour day. But it all goes back to what they were trying to cover up. And Mike Johnson was in to see him. And for months, they wouldn't let Mike in to see him. And they definitely, when he finally got to see him, they wouldn't let Mike see him one-on-one. Have all these other people in there. But Mike got a chance to ask Biden about the fact that he had signed an executive order putting a pause on building any new liquefied natural gas facilities so that we could ship natural gas to around the world, but principally to Europe, and that he had put a cap on how much we could send. And Biden said, I didn't do that. Mike said, no, Mr. President, you issued an executive order. And he said, I didn't do that. So this is what I'm trying to get across about. It doesn't matter who is at the helm because they're not the ones directing the policy. It's people in the shadows running the show. And he's just up there, you know, mumbling whatever they put in front of him.
I've got a new op-ed that came out just this morning, actually, and I gave the analogy. There's a movie called Dave with Kevin Kline and Sigourney Weaver. And you look back on that, and it was a slightly different storyline. Dave wound up being the good guy, sort of the hero. He exposed the people in the wings. But the fact is, what they were doing was people in the background who wanted to keep their agenda going were putting up a fake president because they knew they could control him, and then they couldn't stop him from being out in public. And that's kind of where they are right now with Biden. The thing they got away from them was they can't stop the president from going out in public.
Yeah. And it's really sad that his family keeps encouraging him to stay in the race. But I just think that at the end of the day, what we've got to focus on are the policies that have gotten us in this mess, that have added trillions of dollars to our debt. I think President Trump kind of got a little off track and misspoke. He said he's got the largest deficit in the history of the United States. He's got the largest debt.
Uh-huh.
And if we don't get our handle on that, you and I both know where we're heading.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We're going to be owned by China. Let me ask you this. In the day-to-day, and I hear third-term Obama. I agree with that. But in the day-to-day, who is actually running the show? Like, who's the fake president in the background? Is it Jill Biden? Is it the chief of staff? Is it a consortium of people? Is there a Susan Rice still in the background somewhere doing things? Who's actually running the presidency right now?
I can't put my finger on who they are individually. I think it's too broad spread to say that it's just one person, but I do think it's from an agenda perspective. It's what the third Obama term would have been.
Yeah.
And I don't think Obama's calling and telling him what to do. I think staffers are making these decisions. And they're a bunch of left-wingers. I mean, I tell people now that we've gone past socialists to Marxists. And people they think I'm just, you know, being mean. But I'm just telling you the truth.
Yeah. No,
the differences between Republican view of the world and what the Democratic Party has now. The Democratic Party that you and I grew up with doesn't exist anymore.
No.
You're either a socialist or a Marxist.
I'm pretty sure John F. Kennedy would have been a Republican by now.
He wouldn't have been in their party. They would have thrown him out.
No. Let me ask you, I look at it. Today, we had a ruling from the Supreme Court. I know you're traveling, not sure how much you've had a chance to see it, but I'll just tell you real quickly, in case you didn't see it, that the Supreme Court came out today and ruled on the question of presidential immunity, and they basically affirmed what has always been the case and said that in with regards to, you know, actual presidential duties, that the president does have the right to enjoy immunity from prosecution. That being said, I think it's going to really unhinge the ability of the Jack Smith case. But I also wonder if that might help press Obama to leave office, because part of me thinks that Obama's hanging on, or the Obama family's hanging on, to avoid prosecution for things. I'm sorry, Biden. Yeah. You can see where I am now.
I put it in your head. Sorry. Well, the Supreme Court ruling today really didn't have anything to do with what Jack Smith, the main thing Jack Smith's looking into, and that's mishandling of classified documents. But it completely shuts down the January 6th
exactly
investigation. And I do think that it's proper that that's protected. Members of Congress are protected by the speech and debate clause of the Constitution from any prosecution, from what could be said in a hearing or in a speech or something like that. And I do think when it comes to someone saying something that's, you got to treat that differently. And so I was pleased by that court decision. Courts had a good session, Phil. Friday, they overturned what's known as the Chevron Doctrine. And for your listeners who are not familiar with that, since 1984, basically 40 years, federal agencies have been able to take legislation passed by Congress and interpret it any way they wanted to and just make law. And the court stopped that with this decision, which I think is going to put more pressure on the courts now on how they interpret these suits. It's also going to put pressure on us, and rightfully so, make us accountable for what actually gets passed into law. And we've got another thing legislatively that needs to be done that, if we can get that done, will be an absolute game changer, because when an agency does issue a new regulation or rule, we'll have to vote to approve it instead of a vote to disapprove, which could be defeated in the Senate or vetoed by a president. We're really on the verge of losing representative government to a bunch of unelected, faceless bureaucrats that nobody votes for.
No, completely agree. And the bureaucrat state, the deep state, deep state's real. We have a deep state in Montgomery, for that matter. But the deep state is out there, and I really think that's part of what the decision making process has been. People get embedded; they don't see leadership at the top telling them yay or nay on things, and so they just run with it. So this decision today, I think, is bigger than just Trump. In fact, I believe one of the justices called it a decision for the ages. And I think that this one may actually help unravel some of these really bad policies which are coming by executive fiat through the regulatory agencies. But Congressman, we are out of time, and I know you're traveling, but I really appreciate you making time for us today.
Oh, I always enjoy being on with you, Phil.
All right. Well, thank you. You have a great travel. Safe travels. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Thank you. That was Congressman Gary Palmer, who serves from the Birmingham area. Listen, one of the most conservative guys you'll ever meet. And the founder, you hear about the Alabama Policy Institute all the time on this show. He's the founder of the Alabama Policy Institute. Spent all those years working on conservative policy issues. He was known nationally for his work and has now taken that to Congress, where he has become a leader on policy in the Republican caucus in Congress. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'm going to launch into some stuff that I've got. We're debating the debate. I wanted your feedback. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.